Good morning. We have arrived at the final chapter in this book, Spiritual Power of Truth. And the chapter is called Chapter 19, When Christ Has Entered In. Please get quiet, settle down, find your center. Father, reveal thyself. This chapter today is really an ordination. You are being ordained. And if you take it seriously, if you practice what it says, well, you will be one with Christ consciously. He begins with, our praying is done in secret. The Father that seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Therefore we do not go around blessing our fellow man so that he can see us do it, or know that we are doing it. It has to be a secret within ourself, known only to ourself and to the Father within. As someone on the outer plane is led to us, we will give them milk to the babes and meat to the adults. We will begin to pour out. That's what the last chapter was all about, pouring out very gently this milk of the Word until we see that those who have come to us are ready for more and more truth. Then, ultimately, we will pour it all out and give it all to them. This life of prayer, this is assuming you are practicing a life by prayer, is not the life of prayer that is going to God to get blessings. It is the life of prayer that fits us to be a blessing, so that we come out from sitting at the feet of the Master forever. And so prayer is not going to God to get something. Prayer is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and our fellows. Now, my very first realization on this path was when I heard the words, God does not need prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And that's the same thing he's saying here. We become the Master who walks up and down the earth silently, secretly, saying, neither do I judge thee, neither do I condemn thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thou art the temple of God, and God is in his holy temple. The peace of God is with you. The presence of God is with you. The omniscience of God is with you. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, he's not just making this up. He practices this. He looks out at the world, and these are his realizations. And so he says, you are the master now. You are Christ consciousness now. No longer are you a self apart from God, seeking, needing, desiring. Now you are the way, the life, and the truth. And you can only be that as long as you keep it a secret. You can only be that as long as you make it a secret relationship between you and your Father. Until somebody evolves to the extent where you can reveal this to them. All right, now he is ordaining you to go and do likewise. Here we take the reverse angle of prayer, not using it for our benefit, or for our patients' or our students' benefit. We have adopted prayer as a way of life in the sense of our outgivingness of life. This is prayer as a way of life lived by the Master, the way of life lived as Christ consciousness, and so the way of life that should be lived by you. You have always prayed, give me Christ consciousness. You have always prayed, oh, that I might receive the Christ. You have always prayed, however, this now is attaining it. This is accepting it. But you can only accept it by a reversal, not by sitting at the feet of the Master. You can only accept it by saying, I and the Father are one, and all of God's grace that flows to me will flow out from me and through me to this world. This is the only way you can really pray for the world. You cannot pray that peace come on earth, and I will tell you why. If peace came on earth tomorrow, there would be war the day after that. There would have to be, because man's consciousness has not changed. How are you going to have peace on earth while there is war in consciousness? Do you see that? All the peace treaties in the world would be of no avail unless men and women were ready for peace. It is the same way when we pray for prosperity. After we get it, do we not waste it? There is no use praying for prosperity until you have the consciousness to know what to do with it when you have it. Gain the consciousness of it first, and then the rest will be added. That is so hard for most people to understand. We first realize our oneness with the Father, and we realize that all that the Father hath is mine. And then we begin to pour out, what have I in my house? We begin to pour. And then what we pour is heaped up, pressed down, and running over. It comes back. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over. But we don't want to do that. We want to pray for rent. We want to pray for an automobile. We want to pray for a companion. We want to pray for health. It does not work that way. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and we're still, some of us, praying the old-fashioned prayer. God, you know our hearts and our minds. and we would like a little pizza on Friday. And nothing happens. Well, this doesn't work. So I think I'll try Buddhism. And then I use the prayer wheel. And that doesn't work, so I guess I'll try the Muslim way of life. And I pray towards Mecca 5 times a day. And that doesn't work, so I give up and become an atheist or an agnostic. And that doesn't work either. The way is straight and narrow. And we have committed our all to this path. And so he's going to tell you how you should pray and what your prayer life should be. So it is that you have prayed for the Christ to enter your soul. As a matter of fact, the title of my book, The World is New, is based on the quotation that is in the chapel at Stanford University, selected by Mrs. Stanford herself. The world is new to every soul when Christ has entered in. Now, are you going to sit around forever waiting for Christ to enter in? If so, it will not happen. We have been preparing human consciousness to receive the Christ. Consciousness has been prepared to accept the truth that I and the Christ are one. Now is the time to accept it. Now is the time to move from being an individual who continues to pray to God for things to being the individual who surrenders that, and who surrenders even the right to pray in that sense, and understands, now I and the Father are one. We have united consciously. We have always been one, but now, consciously, I and the Father are one. And all that the Father hath is mine. Therefore my life now is one of bestowal, one of benediction, one of sharing, one of blessing. So then you are sitting back and looking out there, not as a supplicant at the feet of the Master, but instead sitting to the right of the Master, as a co-worker with the Master, a disciple of the Master, an apostle of the Master, engaged in the same activity, sharing God's grace with humanity. And the best way to do it is to pray, "Thy sins be forgiven thee, Father, open their eyes." So your activity from this day forward should be sharing God's grace with humanity. You must, grow up spiritually. You must come out from those that sit at the Master adoringly, sit at his feet, and waiting for morsels to be dropped, and praying and pleading and begging. We must surrender that. He says it right here. We must surrender that. And we must pick up this cross and follow Christ and share God's grace with humanity. individual peace will come into your life when you are ready for it and not before. When you stop taking up the sword of criticism, judgment, condemnation, malpractice, then the sword will not be taken up against you. In that moment, when you decide to live under grace, under love, judging no man, that is the moment when peace will come into your individual experience. No matter how many bombs fly, no matter how many thousands fall at your left or at your right, it will not come nigh thy dwelling place. Why? Because thy dwelling place is that secret place where you are praying in secret. Nothing can enter that but grace. You will also be the means of saving many others who are embodied in your consciousness. Peace will come to you when peace is established within you, when you establish peace with your fellow man. Prosperity, spiritual prosperity, will come to you when you are fit to receive it. By your giving of your first fruits to God. Now, we all know about tithing your first fruits. 10% is what they recommend in church. But there's another thing here. Same principle used in another way. Your first fruits are your first prayers. Your first prayers must be given, well, to God, to all mankind, really. And always, it must be done in secret. Consciousness. We have been preparing human consciousness to receive the Christ. Consciousness has been prepared to accept the truth that I and the Father are one. Now is the time to accept it. Now. Peace and prosperity will then come into your experience. And you will also hasten the day when it will come to mankind. Mankind is still going to hold to its arrogant nature until there are enough Christ apostles and disciples walking the earth, forgiving and praying for the enemy to soften them up. Never believe that if they scrap all the armies, navies, and air forces, this will bring an era of peace on earth. Because it will not. I have twice witnessed navies scrapped. I have several times seen peace treaties signed. And it does not mean a thing. They are all just scraps of paper. Because behind them there is not the intent to keep them. In other words, there is not yet the mellowness of love in human consciousness. Once that love comes into human consciousness, we will not need any treaties. Yes, there will be troubles between Canada and the United States at times. We're seeing some of that now. Always in human relationships, there arise disturbing elements. But this is not war. It cannot eventuate in war, because peace is already established in the consciousness of North Americans, and there will not be war. So it is. You will discover that war cannot enter your life if it has been ruled out of your consciousness. Do you look on that group known as Hamas and think that they should go eliminate all of them? Should they take their guns and bombs and tanks and soldiers and eliminate them all? What if you look at the other side, or from the other side? Do you believe that from the river to the sea, Israel must be eliminated? That they should take their guns and bombs and soldiers and eliminate Israel? Do you believe that the Ukraine should fight back against Russia, who is invading them for a piece of property, as much property as they can get? Do you believe that Ukraine should take guns and bombs and tanks and missiles and eliminate Russia? Do you believe that the United States should eliminate North Korea? If you do, if any one of those things is true, you still have war in your consciousness. And unless you get it out, you will experience war. It may not be of your making. It cannot be ruled out of your consciousness while you are living on the human plane, which is under the law. So you have to live somewhere other than the human plane. It can only be ruled out of your consciousness if you will accept yourself as Christ, or as the disciple or apostle of Christ. And if you say, I have removed myself from this side to that side, I am now sitting at the place where my life is a forgiveness, a benediction, a blessing, and no evil can come nigh me because I am not seeking anything. I am not even seeking good. As long as I am not seeking, I am not going to receive. I will always just be. This is our real nature, being. I and the Father are one in being, in essence. I and the Father are being life. We are being eternal life. I am immortal life. When do you move from that seat at the feet of the Master that says, give me life? When do you move to the seat beside the Master and say, thou hast given me life eternal? I am life eternal. When do we move from asking the Master to be fed to saying, thou hast fed me truth, And now I know all that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. We can bring about a transition in consciousness if we will start a battle with ourselves. That battle will start the very moment that we realize that we have had the privilege taken away from us of going to God for something, or to man. We have had to sit still and say, no. Even out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, in a rubber boat, all that God is, I am, and all that the Father hath is mine. He calls it a battle because it's really hard the first, well, he says the first few months when we begin to stop ourselves every time we go to God, we want to go to God for something. Well, my income is drying up, so I'd better practice some principles and go to God. No, that's not right. That's sitting at the feet of the Master. We want to sit at the table with the Master and practice being Christ. He or she that has all that the Father hath. Even in the midst of prison, or a prison of sin, or a prison of disease, I am going to close my eyes to the appearance and say, no more begging, no more pleading, no more looking out, but now realizing, thank you, Father. All that God is, I am. That which I am seeking, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. Here, where I am, is holy ground. For here the Spirit of the Lord is, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. These lessons have involved a movement in consciousness, a transition in consciousness, from sitting at the feet of the Master to sitting up at the table with the Master. I have received from the Master, from truth I have received life eternal. I have received divine grace. I have received the assurance of my oneness with God. Now it is my turn to share, to bless, to pray. This is the life of prayer, the life that you now are committed to living. In praying for the world, there is one mode and means of prayer that will do more to break the evils of the human mind than anything else. Realize that God, Spirit, is omnipotence, and therefore the mind of man is not power. The will of man is not power. The way of man is not power. All power is in God, Spirit. And therefore, there is no power in the carnal mind, or mortal mind, or human mind, whichever you call it. All power is in God. Remember, Christ is not a temporal power that goes out and destroys enemies. Christ is not a power that can go out and help you get a better bargain at someone else's expense. Christ is the gentle presence that establishes peace in the heart, mind, and souls of men. Look upon Christ as the gentle influence that cements men in their spiritual relationship. Do not look on God or Christ as a temporal power that you can invoke to go out and do something. Understand that the carnal mind of man is not power, and that this gentle influence of the Christ is the dissolving of all that is adamant in human consciousness. So to pray for the world means to look out and almost see this globe of the universe in front of you and feel your hands or your love going out around that globe, saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I pray that thy sins be forgiven thee. I pray that Christ dwell in thy heart. I pray that no penalties ever be inflicted upon you for the past. I pray that you know spiritual freedom, spiritual justice, spiritual life, and spiritual law, spiritual love. Hold that globe this way, in a whole armful of love, understanding, and forgiveness. Allow no thought of victory to enter your mind, no victory over man, no victory over ideologies, no victory over countries, no victory, peace. There never can be peace when there are victories. So never think of victories. Think of peace. My peace give I unto you. Keep that globe in your arms. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. My peace, spiritual peace, the peace that brings with it forgiveness and comfort. My comfort give I unto you, spiritual comfort. Yes, in fact, the Comforter. We are given the Comforter. Do you feel it now? If you feel that Comforter, rest back, lean back and rest in the Comforter, the Spirit of God that has been given to you, the Christ. I am come that they may have life. And so I must be the Comforter to the world. But I must be it in secret, not in speeches or lectures or standing on the corner on a box and giving a talk. No, we are practicing the principle of anonymity. Your spiritual love will flow out anonymously and embrace the entire universe. And here one will awaken, and there one will awaken, and over here one will seek God and find God within. Remember, you have moved. You are not sitting at the feet of the Master anymore. You are sitting on the platform with the Master. Therefore, you have the equal right as a disciple and apostle to place your arms around the entire globe and say, My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. My grace is thy sufficiency. It is not charity, not benevolence, not somebody's generous pocketbook. My grace is thy sufficiency. You are speaking out as a disciple of the Master, always in secret. When you go to the grocery store, practice this. My peace I give unto you. All that the Father hath is mine. The most difficult situation arises with yourself in the early months when you first start this practice, when you have to consciously resist the temptation to want something and desire something as if you were out there at the feet of the Master. You have to consciously remember that you gave up that seat to those who are not yet aware. Now your seat is on the platform. You are sitting up there, co-worker with the Christ of God. Your function is no longer to receive. Your function now is to bestow. Your function is not to get. Your function is to give. Your question that you must ask yourself every single morning from now on is, what have I in the house? I wake up, I yawn, I put my feet over the side of the bed and sit up. What have I in my consciousness? What have I to share? Then, throughout the day, as the opportunity comes to bestow the bread of life, the meat, the wine, and the water, the life and the resurrection, remember that this is the path you have embarked upon. It is like degrees. The spiritual life is lived in degrees, like a fraternal order. First degree, second degree, all the way up to the 33rd degree. I think my dad was a 33 degree Mason. You have voluntarily surrendered your rights as a first degree or a second degree, and you have claimed for yourself the title of the third degree. If you haven't read it, there is a chapter, well, the entire book, actually, called A Parenthesis in Eternity. There he speaks of the first degree, second degree, and the third degree. And I have some talks on my website where I spell out specifically what should be happening in each degree. And so there's a talk there on the third degree, the second degree, and the first degree. You are entering the third degree. The spiritual life is lived in degrees. you have voluntarily surrendered your rights to the first or second degree. You have claimed for yourself discipleship with the Master. Therefore, you cannot any more go back to living the person in the first and second degrees. Now you must be one who shares the light of the third degree with those coming up through the first and second degrees. Each day you have to remember, what have I in the house? From my standpoint now of a disciple and apostle, you will find you are living your life in a different dimension. That's a pretty heavy-duty line. If you're living as the Christ, if you are blessing and bestowing and praying, taking the globe in your consciousness and lovingly holding it there, you will find you are living your life in a different dimension. Certainly you will find that you are living under grace, because now, like the disciples, you can go out without purse or scrip and find that your needs will be met without taking thought. Do you believe this? Do you believe what we've looked at this morning? Do you believe that you can come out from sitting at the feet of the Master to sitting at the table beside the Master, doing the same work the Master is doing? You have to accept this. You have to realize this. You have to practice this. You have to remember, what have I in my house? And then you have to pour out. And he is ordaining this entire student body to go and be likewise. Are we still under the law, or are we under grace? That depends on which side of the table you are sitting on. It depends on whether you are looking out at people, remembering what they owe you, and seeing to it that you get it, or whether you have come to realize your relationship with God, understanding yourself to be the bestower, the giver, the sharer of His glory. Remember, you are not giving anything of yourself. You will not be one penny poorer after you give away $1,000, because it is not yours that you are giving. That too determines whether you are under the law or under grace. Do you believe that your personal possessions are yours? Or do you see that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and that God is just expressing them through you? Now, that's an important principle. You're not giving of yourself. This love that you share, this wisdom that you bless people with, this secret prayer life that you bless mankind with, this is not yours. And when you know that, it will never, ever, ever run out. It will be the cruse of oil that never runs dry. So, And finally, he says, we are not givers of our own. We are not givers of ourself. We are merely transfer agents. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All that I have is thine. Keep your eyes on that word I. All that I have is thine. I and the Father are one. I have allness to give, to share and to bestow. So it is that we move up from the feet of the Master to a place beside him at the table, and we do this consciously. We make a transition in consciousness consciously, in full awareness. You begin your day with, what have I in the house? Father, what have I to give? How may I best be of service? Thy will be done through me. I, the I of me, and the Father are one presence. And this I has come that they may have life and life more abundantly. You are now ordained to lift up all mankind, to know that wherever you go, God is. Wherever you go, I am. And I have come that they might have life. We are giving up the life of sowing and reaping, and we are exchanging it for the life of pouring out, receiving within and pouring out. And so I start my day. What have I in the house? How may I best be of service? And I watch for the door to open, for the opportunity to appear, because it will, it does. And when you live this way, praying for the world in secret, silently, well, it really does return onto you, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. You have abundance. You have companionship all over the globe. You have life, and you're living it, and you're giving it, and you have being. You are being the living Christ. This is the way it's supposed to be. And I know you are hearing me. And I love you for being willing to live this way. This is how the couple was living that Joel remarked in the Second World War in England, as the bombs were falling. They were out and about walking the streets, helping others, and they were never touched. because you create your universe. And so if you're pouring out love, your universe is filled with love, even in the middle of a war. I feel that presence now. Let us be still for a moment. So, you are ordained to sit with the Master, to love with the Master, to bless with the Master, to pour out with the Master, to be the Master. Two things. Upon awakening, if you need to post it next to the mirror in the bathroom, do so. But first thing in the morning, what have I in the house to pour out? If you see nothing, you can immediately go into prayer and pour out your prayers. Your first fruits, and second, as you go out into the world, you are praying in secret. That's what you have in your consciousness, your secret prayers. I know thee, who thou art. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the temple of God, and God is living in and through his temple. I know you make mistakes, and I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But that's only an appearance of carnal mind. And in the presence of this presence, carnal mind is not power. The human mind is not power. The human will is not power. God is power. And the power of God is the love that surrounds this globe as you hold it within, in an embrace of love. So Joel sends us out as ambassadors of truth, and we can't tell anybody what we're doing until the time that they come to us and say, will you please share with me what you know? Or can you help me? Will you pray for me? And like Joel, I release you all. Go forth and prosper. Live this secret prayer life. You will know me when you see me and look in my eyes, and I will know you when I look in your eyes. I will know my brother. I will know my sister. Who is my mother, my sister, my brother, those that do this will? The secret prayer life. I want to thank you. This has been really an awesome study. I have learned a lot. I don't mean with my mind, I mean through the practice of these principles and through the attempt to practice these principles. I have learned much and am learning. This is a journey that goes on forever, my friends. 3 lifetimes from now, we may meet. And we'll still be walking this path. Only I have an idea that we'll all have students by then, if not by next year. You can't practice these principles without someone saying, "What are you doing? And then we can say, "Well, let me show you this book. It's called Living the Infinite Way, or Practicing the Presence. See what you see in there. And if you have questions, we'll talk about it." I'm not going to tell them I'm praying in secret, but I am. Bless you. I hold you in my heart, surrounded by love. Thank you. Amen.